You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we're going to spend the next half hour with you. We're going to be in Luke chapter 15 again. We're talking about the compassion of God and how it is a key ingredient in the story of the father and his two sons. So that's what we're talking about. We're going to be there here in just a bit, but I want to say thank you today to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape and Space Coast Nursery. They're a licensed and insured family business, over two decades of landscaping business. They're right here in Brevard County. Their service area covers all of Brevard County, and they have a full array of products. They can do artificial turf, putting greens, bocce ball courts. They can do the artificial turf, the landscaping, the land water features, landscape lighting, you name it, they can do it. They have a number of other things that you can get at Space Coast Nursery, and there you can get they have plants, they have sod, they have rock, they have mulch, they have trees, they have paver stones. It really is whether or not you like to stand back and watch other people do what they do best, or whether you like to get down and get hands-on and things like that. So the phone numbers for Treasure Your Landscapes, 321-749-1432. Space Coast Nursery is open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. Their phone number is 321-452-5565. Dan and Treasure and their team love Jesus. They love what they do. They love making people's yards look beautiful. They want it to be an environment that you will treasure. And we want to thank them for being friends and friends of the Refresh radio program as well. And so Treasure Your Landscape, 321-749-1432. So today we're going to return to Luke chapter 15, and we're read verse number 11. We'll go a little bit further today. We'll go all the way down to verse number 21 in our reading, so 11 through 21. And Jesus said, then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. We've talked a great deal about a number of different things here in this passage so far. We've talked about the various characters in this narrative, and I asked you last Friday, which one of these characters do you identify the most with? And for many people, it may be the younger son. There may be seasons where you identify with the businessman and you're hiring somebody. They're in desperate need. They can provide a service, and it's not a tremendous economic cost to you. There may be times when you value possessions over people. There's the father, there's the father's servants. And then there's the older son, and I told you on last Friday, that's the one that I identify with. We're still a little bit away from getting to that aspect of the story. But both of them needed to have their understanding of their father increased. They knew their father without understanding him, and both of them show a couple of signs. We've talked about how the younger son valued possessions over things, or possessions over people, and how sooner or later there's going to be difficult times that come in people's lives. We've talked about fair weather friends that are there when you are doing well, but when you hit a difficult season, they're not going to be anywhere around. We've talked about the younger son trying to be the one that establishes the dynamic of the relationship with the father. We talk about when he hits rock bottom, that he comes to his senses and makes a decision that he is going to leave this faraway country, and he's going to return home. And that's what he not only makes that decision, he makes the journey. So what happens is he begins to realize that the situation he's living in is far less than the environment his father had created for him to thrive in. So let me look here. We've talked about that even though that the son was wasteful, that's what prodigal means, that he had spread around all of his wealth and he had wasted it. But here in verse number 17, he says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Here the younger son realizes the character of his father and how his father treats his servants. And as he realizes that the person he couldn't wait to get away from was now the person that he looked at in a completely different light. Now he looks and sees that he treated his servants far better than he was being treated by this pig farmer. And it's the treatment of the servants. And he says, here I am. I'm dying in this place. I'm perishing with hunger. And he realizes that he needs to go back to the father, and there's something that he needs to say. And that needs to be said is, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I want to encourage you this morning to not wait until it's too late before you say the things that need to be said. I've done a lot of funerals, and unfortunately there have been a number of funerals where there were people who wanted to say things and they waited too late. They didn't get a chance, and so they said them at their funeral. And let me just throw some practical tips out there. Don't wait for the funeral before you buy your wife flowers. Don't wait until the person cannot hear you or cannot benefit from the love that you have for them. Don't wait until they can't respond so that you can tell everybody else. Make sure you let them know that while they're living. Life is so much better when it's a relationship focused around God, because God is love. He's the source of love, and he wants that to become our lifestyle, a lifestyle of love. And so the younger son realized, he said, I need to go back. I need to tell my father that I have sinned. Okay? Sin is not a condition that you can be healed from. It's a condition that you've got to be delivered from. The forgiveness of sin is only made available through the sacrifice of the Son, due to the compassion or the love of the Father. So the Father so loved the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. So that sin requires the price to be paid, and it can only be dealt with through the blood and through repentance. There are other aspects of character where it is the result of living in a fallen world. So there can be people who are broken emotionally. There can be people who are broken physically, broken financially, and things like that. And there may be a spiritual component to that, but there needs to be healing. There needs to be a restoration of functionality back to the way things were supposed to be from the very beginning. And God needs to make us whole. So there's sin that needed to be repented of, but there was also a brokenness in this young man that needed to be made whole. So the wasteful son, the prodigal son, he realizes that this life so far away from where he was born, so far away from where he grew up, that it was a life that was killing him. I live a long way away from my family. And that wasn't by choice. I wasn't running away from them. I got called into ministry, and in answering that call, I said, God, I will go wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want me to do. I will say whatever you want me to say. And that call has taken me through many states. It looked like on a couple of occasions that it was going to take me to other states. And then all of a sudden, the door after it had opened, all of a sudden it slammed shut. And so the first couple of years my wife and I were married, we understood what the need for healing looked like. Because it was pretty difficult. Someone says, hey, we want you to come and work. And it's like, great. And then all of a sudden, life changes just a little bit. And they say, well, we didn't sign up for that. And, we don't want you to come. And I can tell you, God is my doorkeeper. And so he's opened many doors. He's closed many doors. And when you look back in the rearview mirror of life, you can say, hey, God, I'm so thankful that you opened the doors you did. And I'm also thankful that he closed many of the doors that looked like they were going to open at one point in time. So allow God to make you whole. Don't allow the destruction of the enemy to define your life. Allow the healing power of God to define your life. There's another aspect, and it's in verse number 19. He said, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He realizes that he has not lived up to the family name. He had this was not a father problem. This was a son problem. In your kid's situation, it might not be a son problem. It might be a daughter problem. And I will tell you this: there's no such thing as a perfect parent. And if I can just let everyone out there know that if you're in a relationship, whether it's parent to child, child to parent, if it's husband to wife, if it is sibling to sibling, however, you need the grace of God, because people all have areas of brokenness in them. And when that happens, there may be people who look at the brokenness in others without realizing the brokenness in themselves. And here the prodigal son flips that script. He recognizes that the brokenness in this relationship is not due to the father. It's in him. He's the one that's broken. And he said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm unworthy of a son-father relationship. And so with that recognition, he begins to make the journey back to the father's house. And that journey begins with him saying goodbye to sin, saying goodbye to the faraway country, and making the journey home. So I'm very thankful for technology. I told you I live a long ways away from my family, but I'm thankful for the technology that makes phone calls possible. I'm thankful for the technology that makes video calls possible. I'm thankful for modes of transportation that we can get someplace in a very short period of time. And, you know, every time I get to see my family, I'm glad to see them. And the welcome mat is out. As Motel 6 used to say, the light is on. And, when it comes to our relationship with God, we need to realize we don't need to just come home for a visit. We need to come home to stay. A lot of times young people think that they've got life all figured out, only to find out later that there's some things that they're not quite ready for yet. So he gets up and he confesses his guilt, and I've got this written down here. He leaves from the faraway country where he's been humiliated, and humiliation gives way to humility. Those two things, even though they sound very similar, are vastly different. Humiliation is what happens when we are proud, when we're puffed up, when we've esteemed ourselves more highly than we ought, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a situation where we are humiliated, and that generally takes place in a very public environment. Humility is a self-analysis, if you will, a self-adjustment, where we recognize, look, this is not something to be proud of. This is something to be repented of. The Bible says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And humility is the first step. If we tend to ignore the opportunities to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, then we position ourselves where the only way that that is going to be able to be dealt with is through humiliation. If you want to know the most proud individual that has ever existed, it's Satan. He is puffed up. He thought he was better at God, at being God, than God was, even though he was a created being. And he was fixated on I. All of the things that he was going to do. And the distinction, the difference between the character of God and the character of Satan, it's not close. It's not a nail biter, you know. Back in March, there's March Madness, and you know, basketball games come down to the winner and loser a lot of times being decided on the last shot. That is not the comparison between God and the devil. It's vastly different. It's comparing God's omnipotence. Okay, so if you put a scale of impotence where a person can do absolutely nothing, or an individual can do absolutely nothing, and omnipotence where God can do anything and everything. So if you have that spectrum, and it stretched, say, for 1,000 miles, God would be at mile 1,000, and the devil might be at 3 feet from the very beginning. It's not comparable. He's not comparable in power, not comparable in authority, not comparable in character. He's humiliated. Every time in the scripture where there is the presence of Jesus and the presence of demons or Satan, every time Satan and the demons leave defeated. So here we are on Thursday, and I hope that we choose the path of humility. Amen? Humility says, I've got to get out of this place. And it's not just, I say this, God delivers us not only from Egypt, he intends to deliver us to the promised land and eventually deliver us to his presence. So whenever you're ready to make that journey, the welcome mat is out, the light is on. The son was getting ready to make a journey that the father had been longing for, and was looking for, but he was waiting for the young man to choose, to make a decision, to employ the free will that God had instilled in him. There's much discussion in theological circles about the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. And there was a person, and they were everything's about the sovereignty of God. Well, I want you to know that in God's sovereignty, he chose to give man free will. It's he delegated it. So if I were to say to someone, hey, this is my house, but I want to give you the choice, and you have the ability to choose. Now, these are the colors that I like, but you make the choice. You make the choice to paint this room any color you want. And then I come into the room and you have painted it black, and that wasn't one of the palettes that I had mentioned that I like, but you happen to like it black. I'm just going to make a confession with you. I don't understand painting sanctuaries black. That's just me. I'm a light and bright type guy. So I'm not going to ever give that option. But God has given us, he says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. I set before you wisdom and foolishness. Choose wisdom. I set before you, you know, doing your will or doing my will. Choose God's will. You see, we have a responsibility, and it's not in contrast to the sovereignty of God. It's because of the sovereignty of God that we have to make this decision. And if you today find yourself in a faraway country and you feel like God is a long ways off, I've got great news for you. He is not a long ways off. In fact, if you will draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And I can tell you this, his steps are a lot bigger than our steps. So he covers a lot of ground. He's longing for you to make the trip home. He's looking for you to come home, and he's ready to run to you. So God bless you. You have a great day. We'll return to this tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Wayland.com. Wayland Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.